Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
We are at Patoka Lake Marina in beautiful southern Indiana on Patoka Lake Reservoir.
What an amazing place. As you know, I just got here today and I'm already head spinning. It's how cool. Especially being a rural destination, you have incredible nature stuff. Your spa.
50 miles, 20 minutes north of us is French Lick, and they do have the French Lick Resort, the French Lick Springs, and then also the West Baden Springs Dome. Two beautiful resorts that have been, best word is resurrected, over the last 15 years.
And they're over 100-year-old buildings, right?
That is correct.
Back in the day, this was a major destination for health seekers, the spa people, mm-hmm. the waters.
Yes, the Pluto water was world-renowned. The trains from Chicago would come down here. We've had gangsters. We've had presidents.
I heard there's some illegal gambling dens here.
There was at one time, but everything perfectly legal now.
Tell us about Patoka Lake and the winery.
Yes, so right now you're at Patoka Lake Marina, which we got Patoka Lake Marina. We opened it in 1998. We won the bid, or should I say the concession, to have the marina from the state of Indiana, which also leases the property from the Army Corps of Engineers. This lake is a Corps of Engineer lake, so they do not allow any building along the shore, which is one of the reasons why it's one of the cleanest lakes in the Midwest.
And so everything here is pretty much floating, isn't it?
Yes. We have our floating cabins. We do fun and plays, houseboats. We're the only ones in Indiana with the floating cabins and the houseboats.
Little marina store floating too?
Yes. Even our marina store is floating. Yes.
People can come here and rent a little floating cabins, right?
Yeah. So we introduced the floating cabins. We built them ourselves and came out in 2001. This was the first year we actually started renting them. We started with two. We now have seven. We have 5 2-bedroom floating cabins and 2 3-bedroom floating cabins. This lake, like I said, does not allow any onshore lodging, so that's why we built the floating cabins. It could people ride on the water. And then we also have the houseboats, and we're the only ones in Indiana that rent houseboats.
And then also people bring their own boats here, and they can tie up at the marina and berth there overnight, right?
Yes, we have temporary slips. We also have our yearly slip owners as well, but the lake itself is a wonderful fishing lake and a transient lake, a recreation lake. You can bring your family here, go tubing, go water skiing, or just find a nice quiet cove and relax with a picnic for a day.
What's another unique thing you're most proud of here at the marina?
Our wine cruises.
Which we just did.
Yes. Which we just did. We just started those in 2009. It was the first year we did the wine cruises. And then funneled down from the wine cruises is we opened our own winery in 2016.
You source the grapes and then produce the wine?
We source the grapes. Mm-hmm. We bring in juice and we either bring in Chardonnay, Cab Zinfandel grapes from Lodi, California.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I know Lodi well. So does it come in tankard then, right?
It'll come in as full grapes.
Wow.
Yeah, they're full
so
grapes.
So they're running 24-hour-day truck ride to
just
get them here
pretty
quick.
Much to get here in time, yeah. Yeah. And we have great relationship with the other wineries in this area. A lot of times we'll go in together and we'll buy grapes and they'll buy grapes. We ourselves do not have a vineyard. We make excellent wine, but none of us are very good gardeners, so leave that to the professionals, and we bring in their product. Indiana has been called the Little Napa of the United States with as many wineries as we have. We're over 130 wineries in Indiana.
For you, sourcing remotely is more reduce and simplify to not have that burden of becoming a farmer and a grower, too.
Yes, we have a lot of beautiful wildlife around here that like to eat all the grapes, so yeah.
Yeah, the birds specialize in that.
And the deer.
So back to your winery, do you have a winemaker?
We do have a winemaker. Yeah, my business partner is our winemaker. We'll get to meet him later on today, Steve Bartels. And also we have a manager that will be running the brewery that will be coming out here in the next year. So he also helps make the wine.
So brewery, beer time.
It'll be beer time. Yeah, we'll have all three out here. We're going to have the winery out from it. We're also building a distillery and a brand new hotel combined, and then the brewery.
And distillery, that'll be cool.
Yeah, you'll actually be able to stay at the distillery. It'll have a 27-room hotel adjacent to the distillery. We're learning a lot. We've had a lot of great friends that are helping us. That is one thing I've learned in the alcohol industry, I guess you could say, is everybody's willing to help. When we started doing the wine cruises, we had all different Indiana wineries, and they were ready to help us as soon as we opened ours.
Okay. What do you want to share that we haven't talked about?
I would say the secrets are our uniqueness. So for Indiana, we are the only ones that do wine cruises. We're the only ones that have built and have floating cabins to rent. We're the only facility in Indiana that rents houseboats. And we are the only facility that you can stay at a winery, even in a silo suite, which is a two-story suite built in a silo.
Met a woman who just checked into her silo. Uh-huh. And she said she was a little skittish at first, so she walked in. She didn't have that feeling of being in this round room. I guess maybe because it's so big.
It's so big, and it's detailed out beautifully. The artwork, all the furniture is Amish made. I hate to sound like a movie quote, but we spared no expense.
To learn more about your world, you guys have a go-to website that covers everything?
Yeah, if you go to PatokaLakeMarina.com or find us on Facebook and Instagram, we're huge. We're on TikTok.
You do the TikToks yourself, right?
I do not, but I have a wonderful manager that is really good at making TikTok videos, and even I giggle at them. So, but yeah, Patoka Lake Marina, Patoka Lake Winery, find us on social media. And my name is Heather Setzer with Patoka Lake Marina and Patoka Lake Winery.
Heather, thanks for sharing. This was a fun sunset cruise, I'll tell you.
We are the secret jewel in southern Indiana. A lot of people don't know we're here, and it is a pristine, beautiful area.
You're not that far from an international airport, right?
No, we're an hour from Louisville. We're 2 hours south of Indianapolis. And even Evansville, it's not international, but it has a great airport, and we're only an hour from there.
My name is Steve Bartels. We're in lovely southern Indiana, Bird's Eye, Indiana to be exact, a thriving metropolis.
Tell us about you. You own a business here, right?
Yeah, blessed enough to have got the opportunity to come down here about 23 years ago and help start the marina, and we've just kind of continuously expanded from there, you know, into a gas station, restaurants, laundromat, just kind of becoming that one-stop shop for people that are traveling through the area.
And then currently, we're at one of the barrel rooms in our Patoka Lake Winery, which opened in 2016.
So, first came the marina, right?
Yeah, the marina was our first endeavor into the business world here. Then from there, we kind of at the same time bought the gas station that's across the street here from the winery. And this side of the street, there was actually nothing here. It was just a field.
So, fascinating. You're pioneers. Literally.
Literally out here we are pioneers, yeah, for the most part, yeah.
But you're East Coast, you know, somehow you think of East Coast states already being developed for hundreds of years, right?
Yeah. Everything that we've done, we've always tried to go bigger and better, mm-hmm. and that's been since 1998, since we first started.
So talk to us about the second iteration, where we are now.
It was kind of a pipe dream of ours, probably about 2013 to 15, is that we wanted to be involved in the manufacturing of alcohol, because that sounds fun, right? I mean, right. Our big thing is it's got to be fun, it's got to be profitable. So we kind of kicked this idea around. Originally, it started with a brewery, and then we started doing wine cruises, and we feature every other winery in southern Indiana.
Oh, cool.
Got to know those winemakers. Mm-hmm. And so in 2016, we opened our doors, the winery, started producing about a year before that at different locations. And we Start off with 7 wines, and now we're up to 30-something, 36, depending on.
I heard myth, legend, and lore about carrot wine.
Yeah, we, what year was that we did
it? The first carrot wine we did was in 2017.
And that was just pure for fun?
Well, what happened was I was reading a book that had nothing to do with winemaking, and it was referred to the 1850s that the colonials had a bumper crop of carrots for some reason, and they made wine. And I got the bright idea, well, hell, if they can do it, I can too, right? Uh-huh. So
pure challenge.
It was a pure challenge, and normally you would make a small batch and test it, but
he bought a 53-barrel pure carrot concentrate, and we had hundreds of bottles of carrot wine, and we sold out. We even had bunny rescue centers from New York calling and asking us if we could send them some of the bottles just because of the label and that it's actually carrot wine. Drunken bunny pee.
Yes. That's so cool.
But it's truly a Bloody Mary mix. We tried to make it taste good, and trying to make a wine out of that really didn't work. Once you changed the concept and made a Bloody Mary mix out of it, then it's like, wow, that does taste good.
But home runs. Are you still making it?
We do. We make it once a year, small batch, and we just release it. It's kind of more fun thing.
Right around Easter. Yep, and we call it a Bunny Mary mix.
That's funny. Okay, so you obviously have no fear, and so if you come up with a little idea, you're going to go for it, aren't you?
Generally, a lot of our decisions have been out back over drinking. We're like, hey, let's think about this idea. Like,
and then you do it.
And then we do it, right? Like, we decide we're going to do a distillery. We're like, okay, because we need spirits to put in the wine, right? So we're like, well, we better build one of those.
And we always like to exceed customers' expectations, whether it's with the winery itself, but we also try and give them different unique stays, like the silo suites and the winery suites and the floating cabins down at the marina. We want to be first, and we want them to be wowed and have a wonderful memory.
It's interesting. You're in a real small, rural, isolated ag county, and here you are with this cool resort destination. So the challenge is getting the word out so people know you exist.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time over these last 23 years promoting our area outside the state. And that's kind of the key is we've found that 3-hour drive is about our maximum.
The radius.
The radius, yeah. So,
we're
in Cincinnati.
You're hitting some major metropolitan within 3 hours.
Yeah, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Louisville, those are our big markets, and we just keep wanting to expand those. We get a decent amount from Chicago, but one tank trip. That's what a lot of people look at, a one tank trip.
It is amazing how far away you can go from planet Earth in less than 3 hours.
It's true. Very true.
Yeah. That's incredible. So you're a state representative?
Yes, I am. It's my side gig.
In your spare time?
In my spare time, yeah.
Tell us about that. How and when, why, why did you decide to get involved in government?
A friend of mine was a state representative. I was his campaign manager. Helped him campaign, got to know everybody, and, I represent 5 counties. Well, he had an opportunity to do something different, so there was a vacancy in the position.
Are you independent? Or?
I'm a Republican. Uh-huh. My district's probably 52 to 48, so it's not heavily one way or the other.
Oh, interesting.
But, a lot of my Democrat friends are union guys and girls, and it's just, that's just, but they're all, pretty much my district's all conservative, and, I just lucked into this, basically. I decided to go ahead and run for it.
What was your platform? Why?
Well, the big thing was trying to get some more amenities for our district. I still have people that haul water to their homes. They do not have plumbing. We have literally...
This is a low-income county, isn't it?
Yes, it
is.
One
of the lowest income in the state.
It is, yeah. And my other big platform is I think there should be less government. I think that if you get government out of people's way, they'll be more successful, more productive.
Your goal is to put yourself out of business.
Absolutely. Wouldn't that be nice? And we're blessed in Indiana to have a part-time legislature. I'm up there 2-3 times throughout the summertime, but we're only up there for 2-3 months at a time, so we're not there full-time. So it forces us to be more realistic about our viewpoints of government.
So he was caucused in 2017 and then continued to run after that. And when he did get caucused in, I took over multiple boards that he used to be on. And I was also wonderfully voluntold. I was his campaign manager and chief of staff. So no extra money, but a lot of great experience.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice title.
It is. Yeah. It is. I get to meet a lot of people. I've learned a lot.
Can you tell them what to do now?
No.
No.
I just try and keep him on track there of where he's supposed to be at certain times.
Navigating.
Yes, and I'm very good at remembering people's names, mm-hmm. so I keep asking for the little Secret Service mic for his earpiece. But yeah.
Tell us a little bit more your philosophy, your mission, what you would hope to accomplish.
We have a purple elephant.
Yeah,
I think that kind of sums up my philosophy about government is, like she said, my mascot's a purple elephant, 6 foot tall. And the intent is I'm a Republican at heart in my core, but I think that when you mix that red and the blue and you get purple, mm-hmm. there's so many things we can compromise on and work together. And you just don't see that a lot in government. You know, there's that separation. And I think if we could start working together, we'd get more accomplished.
Yeah, and see,
government works better when it works together.
Tell me about it. That's an important thing to kind of deconstruct, because saying you are a Republican is so amorphous. The people I have the most admiration for in the United States that I've met, become friends with, Governor of South Dakota, no more, back in the day, he was, quote, conservative Republican. It made him mad, but I said, you know, you're really a populist. And it's because of that tag of back to socialism. But populist in the sense that his mission was truly to represent the people. And end of story.
Right. And that's the other thing to recognize, too, with my position is a lot of times people forget that I'm not a representative of the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. I represent a district.
Exactly.
And it's different. My district is different than in Indianapolis or, you know, the Lake Counties. And we have different wants and needs. And sometimes my colleagues forget that I don't have the same viewpoint with them in the state house.
And I think that's really important. I've interviewed many mayors. There are more on the front line than you. But after the mayor, it's the representatives that you get people in your constituents that are in your face, where a senator is more shielded from the people.
Well, from our standpoint, they're the lords, right? As friends, we still call them the lords of the house. But yeah, I think there is some kind of a separation. I think there's a psychological difference that people believe that they're in a different realm than we are as representatives. Mm-hmm. And so I do get a lot of FaceTime. And then I give out my information, personal information, to my constituents.
Have your constituents changed your thinking at all and given you interesting ideas that you might not have thought of on your own?
Absolutely. And I do use, like we do, everybody does surveys in politics, right? But I actually use that to vote. And I tell people it's important that you fill out surveys. There's a vote that I personally disagreed with. My district, 78%, said they wanted the smoking age to go to 21. Well, as an ex-military guy, I'm like, I remember trying to get chew and smoke when I was 18, and it's like, I was totally against that vote. But my district said 78% they want to raise it, so I voted for it. And
so
it makes a difference, yeah.
Uh-huh. So a little bit more, because you alluded to something that's really important and that is dysfunctional in Washington right now, and that's cross-aisle politics. You can talk to any of the old dogs or guys that are dead now, and they will all have told you that it was because of cross-aisle politics that they were able to be viable in the Senate or the House.
Yeah, a great conversation was with Richard Lugar and Lee Hamilton, two completely opposite sides of the aisles. And they had some talkings you could go to, and to hear them talk about the fact that they didn't always agree, but they were civil, they worked together, and they recognized there are certain projects that's best for the state, and they worked on them together.
Before he was a state representative, he was a county council, and then he was elected as county council president, and he said he would only be the county council president if the vice president was a Democrat.
Oh, Ian? Wow.
Yeah.
My chairman's head started to spin when we...
Yeah.
But it was important. It was that we all talk about bipartisanship, and unless you're going to practice it, then it's just idle words.
Which he's now a Republican. Now he's
switched parties. Yeah.
That's
funny. But yeah, I mean, practice what you preach.
Mm-hmm. As a metaphor, the reason why many people admire Lynn Cheney so much is pure and simply the guts to hold her position, not with regard to left, right, or center, right, or wrong. That's why John McCain was so popular, because he had the guts to stick to what he believed was right. And people give you a lot of credit, even though they don't agree with your position. They perceive that you're operating out of your true heart and what you truly believe. And that's so rare in government today.
Yeah, this district knows that when Steve is up there, that everybody knows that he is for less government, and he's a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. He's not going to sugarcoat it. Very blunt individual.
It's probably cost me some friends by being too blunt sometimes.
Yeah. No filter.
No filter, right. Yeah.
So in architecture, there's Mies van der Rohe, and he's very famous for saying less is more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that, you hit it on the head there.
Yep, especially in government.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So tell us again along your plan. One of your missions is with state agencies and regulators and inspectors to bring them in, loop them in. Talk to us about that for a moment.
Yeah, I think the big thing is reining in our agencies, let them recognize that they exist because of the state legislators. I mean, we created them. We have the right to limit them. That's kind of where I'm at is mm-hmm. Indiana's a great place to live and work, but we can always do better. And part of that is with limiting our agency's ability to, one, fine, restrict our citizens and our businesses.
Mm-hmm. He had a first this last session. He was one of two bills that were vetoed by the governor, and his was one of them.
Wow.
You know, and I've been trying to get the pen that the governor signed with. He hasn't, the veto. He hasn't sent me the pen yet. So,
that's funny.
But it was just a transparency bill, just to say, look, we want everybody to know what these agencies
then
are doing.
Why would somebody be against that?
That's a great question. We'll have to, maybe you can interview our governor after this. So,
well, that being said, maybe you know better. But would you consider running for governor?
Absolutely not.
I knew you were going there.
No, and people have asked me about running for it, and I said, no, this is it. My political career is done once this is over, and I'll do this.
So you accomplished what you set out to do.
I don't think being in the government should ever be your long-term goal. I think you serve for, at some point when you're no longer effective, but it's not who I am. You know, I do this because the people voted me to do it for a while. And
were you able to plant any landmines that will ensure a legacy of what you hope to accomplish?
I think is to be determined here shortly. I think, speaking of landmines, they're going to be coming here in the next couple of years, I think so.
I was just agreeing. Yeah, I mean, you're going to see some different legislation we hope go through in the next year or so. So it'll be interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Your turn.
I think the key here is one thing that one of the reasons we're here is we want to bring people here. We want to show off what we're doing. We want to accommodate more people. We want them to have a great time. We're always looking for the next experience. What can we do to make this unique? And that's kind of why we're here. And we hope to just keep bringing people in. And
we want it to be a destination. That's why, I mean, like you said, we are essentially out in the middle of nowhere. So we want to give them a reason to bring their families or their bachelor parties or bachelorette parties or bridal parties here to spend a few days for a destination.
Okay, and then a recap of what your Disneyland destination includes. I mean, it's really diverse.
You go ahead and start.
Okay, so we have the marina, floating cabins, houseboats, wine cruises.
How many houseboats?
3 houseboats, 7 floating cabins.
Uh-huh.
And Fun and Plays and pontoon rentals. We have our land cabins, rooms, suites, Patoka Lake Winery with the winery suites and silo suites, 30 different wines, 16 different slushy flavors, but you can mix and match. So honestly, the options are endless. And then our new endeavor that's under construction, and you can talk about that.
And a
laundromat. And a restaurant.
Uh-huh. A convenience store.
So you guys are
marine shop.
You're on town.
We're trying.
Yeah. You're pretty close.
We get a post office. We've made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And then the hotel, distillery, and the brewery, that is our next endeavor under construction.
So across the parking lot, there's a big stem walls, concrete, piles of dirt, which is going to be your processing facility?
Yep. Yeah, so we'll part of that building will be 28 rooms, suites, kind of like we've done here at the winery. And then the end of that building will be the distillery. And so we'll actually do production there. The Rick House will be somewhere else, but at least we do production there, do tours and those kind of things.
We're going to have a common area upstairs. We'll have a VIP room with a membership. And yeah.
So, as you know, a distiller is a brewmaster who has no self-control.
Exactly.
So that being said, that will be a brewery and a distillery?
So we'll actually make the wort there, but we'll probably do some collaboration with the brewery that we're building. It'll be a separate building and separate owners, but we'll do some things together. It'll be a cooperative.
In label, brand?
So the distillery is Old Homestead Distilling Company. We want it to be kind of like our theme here, the barn, Old West kind of thing. So we're going to keep that same concept over there. And that's going to be in our branding and our bottles and our logo and some of the names of our products.
Rustic elegance, that's what we like to say. Rustic elegance.
There you go. I think it's really awesome.
Well, thank you.
I'm so glad I came here.
We're glad you guys came, and hopefully you have fun in Southern Indiana. And
one more thing, because we didn't really talk about your grain silos that you can stay in.
We kind of had a concept that we would make a round room and kind of make it look like a grain silo for a transition from.
Well, they are. They're built for grain, right?
Yep. Yeah. So we ended up just having a silo company come in and put up the silos, and then we framed out the inside and made suites in the inside.
So if that doesn't work out, you could always go back to
we could. We could. Yep.
Yep. Everybody that goes in them or sees them, they're just in awe because you would not even think that what they would look like inside.
I think that the openness makes it seem like they're bigger than they are. I know a lot of people kind of, they first look at them, they don't think they're that big. Once you get in, there's plenty of room, you know, especially two stories.
Okay, as an empire builder, do you ever have dreams of like 10 or 12 of them?
My next dream is retirement, I think, after we get this other thing done. Let the young folks take over from
I don't think you're going to know how to do that.
Well, I'm going to try.
He's going to be sitting in front of the distillery greeting everybody, drinking some bourbon.
Passing out free drinks. That's my goal.
So. Have you ordered your rocking chair yet?
Well, we've actually looked at them. Yeah. We have looked at them, like a couple of them. So.
That's cool.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, great. Those have been fun.
Please enjoy Southern Indiana.
Okay, to learn more about your world.
You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, PotocaLakeMarina.com, PotocaLakeWinery.com, and Twitter. Again, my name's Heather Setzer with Potoka Lake Marina and Potoka Lake Winery.
And I'm Steve Bartels. Thank you.
And I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Southern Indiana. We'll see you here.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station. ...their jubilee and see them spend their last 2 bits for none of it.